Now let's go on record.
All right, don't
give me over. Today's daf is daf Lamed in Bechavros. We are on the back end of Chav Tes Amud Beis, and we start with the Mishnah. Mishnah's on the top of the Amud Chasher Al HaBechavros. Okay, good discussion today. Hopefully we'll make it through the entire daf about suspicions and where does suspicion, what conclusions can we arrive at based on suspicions that we have, suspicions that are founded, meaning not we're not just simply leveling accusations and maligning and defaming people. We actually have a basis for accusation and a basis for suspicion. So the Mishnah starts off. Now, this Mishnah obviously deals with Becharos because we are in the fourth parak of Becharos and we're learning about the mitzvahs and the halachas of Becharos. From this point forward, in other words, after this Mishnah, the next Mishnah, the Mishnah after that, the Mishnah coming up on Daf Lamed, all these other Mishnayos deal with other topics, but the theme is going to be the basic theme. A chashal al becharos, so someone who's choshed al becharos, what does that mean? So you take a look at the first Rashi on the Amud, first Rashi on the Mishnah, I should say, kagon a chashal lahatomam bebechor. Yeah, what does this guy do? I'll tell you what he does. No, not necessarily. I mean, it could, probably Kohen. Okay. You gave it to him. Okay, remember, we're talking about Bizman Achar HaChorban. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, now the only thing to do is wait for it to get a blemish. And as we'll talk later on the Masechta, you can't put a blemish on the animal. The blemish has to come organically. It has to come naturally. So what happens now is that this guy realizes the animal's no good to me until it gets a blemish. Okay, I got the solution. He puts a blemish on the animal. Brilliant. What a smart guy. So and he was caught doing so. So now he's officially chashed. In other words, now he's suspected. So the Mishnah goes on to say, at this point in time now, you can't buy from him. Now, here's a general idea for today, and that's the following. If you are suspected about one particular mitzvah or one particular issue, so your web of suspicion does not carry over to other areas of halacha. Meaning just because you are deficient or happen to have questionable practices in one area, that doesn't necessarily mean that in the gamut of halacha now, that's it, you're done. We're not buying anything from you. We don't say that. But rather what we say is, look, if you now are suspected about cheating on Becharos, so from this point forward, we're not going to trust you anymore, but only vis-a-vis Becharos. The Mishnah goes on to say, you can't buy from him, and you can't even buy deer meat from him. Deer meat? Now, a deer is not a Bechor. Deer is a Chaya. Bechor is only to Behema. But the idea is extended, but extended a little bit. Why deer meat? Why did the Mishnah point to deer meat? Because it's red meat. Right. So in other words, the basic idea is you can't buy red meat from him anymore. Because you don't know the meat that he's selling you is in fact, well, I'll use the word kosher, even though you understand kosher is not really the right term over here, but I'll use it anyway. Okay, so you don't know if the red meat that he's selling you is kosher, meaning it might be from a bechor where he put a mum on the bechor, so therefore, no, you can't buy any red meat from him. Also, if you have hides, remember the hide now that you're buying from him could be from the animal where he put the mum on the bechor, and you're buying a hide from such animal. Rabbi Lazar says, here's what you can do. You can buy a hide from him if the hide comes off of a female animal. Right. Because a female animal is not going to be a Bechor. His only suspicion is that he put a mum in a Bechor. Bechor is only subject to male animals. It's a female animal. Now, how do you know that this hide came off a female animal? So obviously the answer is going to be, you're going to get to the part where its genitalia would normally be. And you'll see whether it's male or female, and you can base that up off the hide. Okay. Again, the number of times I went to the store to purchase a hide so that I know what I'm talking about? Correct. So, you cannot buy wool from such a person, because again, the wool may have come off a bechor, and once he's suspected of manipulating and tampering with the bechor, so the wool now may come off the bechor, and you can't, you can't do that. Right there. You have no one know. Avalochi mimenu toyu begadim. But you can buy from him spun wool, and you can buy from him clothing that are already made. Now this is interesting. The basic idea over here is that look, he's a He's a little bit of a cheat. He's a little bit of a thief. I'm not judging. I'm just simply saying that that's a basic idea, and you can't trust him on these issues. But if it's spun, or if it's already made into a garment, he's not gonna do that. Why not? Because for him to be suspected, and perhaps for the rabbis to come over and to take it away from him, or to tell the consumer public not to buy from him, it's too much for him. It's too much labor, too much effort for him to go through, only then for the chachamim to come along and say, "I'm sorry, you can't sell that, and we're telling the public not to buy that from you." So once he's manufactured it, once it's made into a garment, so at that point in time now,
we don't suspect
that comes from tampered becharos. Gemara starts off commenting, just explaining some of the points of the Mishnah. So the first thing the Gemara says is basically what we said back in the Mishnah. Deer meat looks like bechor meat. It's red meat. If the hides were processed, so if they were tanned, so you can go and buy them from them. So the Gemara explains, because if it in fact is a bechor, he's going to look to sell it right away, because it's illegal. And so when you have illegal merchandise, again, I'm proud to tell you that I don't have experience over here, but when you have illegal merchandise, you got to get rid of it right away. You don't want to hang on to it. So the fact that he worked it is a good indication that it was not illegal, it was not illicit. Savri, Yishama Bei Rabbanim, Mafsid Leminai, because he's going to say that. This is his thought process. Once the Chachamim find out that this is what I did, they're going to take it away from me, and all my work and all my effort is all going to be for naught. So the assumption is that once it's processed, it's legitimate. Rabbi Elazar Omer Lochim Mimeno Orish on the Keva. So my time on Mediade. So Rabbi Elazar says, look, you can tell the difference between high coming off a male animal, high coming off a female animal. Okay, that's Rabbi Elazar. You notice the Tanakhama didn't make that distinction. It's clear that the Tanakhama disagrees. But Tanakhama, in case Zachanami, Chayk Lezech would say, because, well, the Tanakhama will simply say, here's what this guy will do. He'll take the hide off a male animal. He'll cut out the part that would have been indicative of the fact that this came off a male, and he'll try to sell as a female, hide of a female. V'amar achbar machluha. And now, as far as what is he going to say to the potential buyer? Oh, you know what? The mice came and they ate out that part of the hide. I'm really sorry, but the rest of the hide is still excellent, and it came off a female. Okay, obviously we're trying to describe the thought process of an unscrupulous person. So the idach yachbar made the yade, and the counter argument to that would be no one's going to buy that argument. In other words, you'll look. You can easily see the difference between a piece that's cut out versus a piece that was eaten out by mice. So that's not just simply not going to pass as a legitimate explanation. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to buy clean wool and dirty wool from him. It's a little bit strange. Meaning, if you're not going to buy clean wool from him, you're certainly not going to buy dirty wool from. What's the difference? So the Gemara answers very simply, no, read the Mishnah like this. It means it was cleaned from its soa. It was, and the Chiddush of the Mishnah, you understand now, because we were arguing that if there's a certain amount of process that was done, so then at that point you can assume it's legitimate. It's fine. But here, just cleaning the wool is not a big deal. And so therefore you still have to suspect that this wool came off a bechor. Right, it's a fair argument. The Gemara doesn't say that, but I hear that. Avalochi mimenu toiv ubegadim. Here's what you could do. Also, you can buy spun wool or actual clothing. And again, the Gemara is going to ask a simple question: if it's spun wool and that's enough process, so if it's already converted to clothing, for sure you could buy from him. So hashta tvizav ninan begadim ibaye. My begadim namte. So the Gemara says, when we say begadim, we're talking about namte. Now, it's some sort of felt, right? You take a look at Rashi. He actually says that. In felt garments that are made simply by patting down the wool, but there's no spinning involved. Okay, so the point of the Gemara is that
made out of wool.
No, just the texture, the feel for it. It just the wool's padded down, and the idea is that even though it wasn't spun, but still it was padded down into a garment, and that's enough process. Okay. And from this point forward, now we're going to leave the world of Bechoros, but we're going to stay with this theme. The theme of today, it's really one theme for today, is that what if you're suspected? Hachashon al HaShvias. Let's say you're suspected for Shvias, meaning either Rashi gives one of two suggestions over here. Either you plant during the Shemitah year. Okay. Shemitah year, you have to lay the land fallow. You cannot work the land. And in the middle of the night, you go out there, and you start planting during the Shemitah year. That's one possibility. The second possibility, says Rashi, is Schora B'Sfichim. You know, even if you don't plant during the Shemitah year, which of course you're not going to, because the Torah says you're not allowed to, but even if you don't, but still, the trees are still going to produce fruit, those fruit are called Sfichim. And those fruit have Kedushas Shavias. You can eat them. The Torah says you can eat them. La'achla v'lo l'schora. You can eat them, but you can't sell them. You're not allowed to sell perishvias. In fact, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, we're learning it this year in the high school, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that if you are a seller of perishvias, so that's it, you no longer can be a judge, you can no longer testify in a court of law. Meaning at that point in time, Torah says you're not allowed to do that. You obviously are showing a certain amount of, I'll violate Isurim for money. So at that point in time now, we no longer can trust you as a judge, nor as a witness. The Mishnah over here is saying that if you're chashal al shvias, so either that means, says Rashi, you plant during the Shemitah year, or you sell produce of the Shemitah year. So ein lochem himenu pishtan v'afilu srak. So you can't buy anything from him, even pishtan, even flax. Right. V'afilu srak avalochem himenu tavi v'arig. But again, same story as we saw earlier. Once it went through processing, so then you could buy it from him, because again, it's the same argument. He processed it. He's not going to go through all that trouble just to have the chachamim come along and take it away from him.
I understand one thing. But the flax is not subject to Shemitah, right?
I guess the idea...
Then what's the difference?
Much like the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah... First of all, the flax seed is edible, and also what we learned in the previous Mishnah, which is that, right, if it's substitutable, right, like the deer meat, could substitute for other red meats. Okay. Good. So the Gemara Hashta Tviyas Avnin and Arig Mibaye, my Arig Tich, again, same story. If spun flax is all you, is that, if that's enough processing to take away the suspicion, so if he weaves it into a garment, that's obviously a lot more processing. And the Gemara says that when we're talking about Arig over here, we're talking about a certain type of weaving, which doesn't require spinning. Okay? Any more information than that, I can't help you with. I'm not in the flax spinning nor weaving process. Hachashuv zio mocher truma. Lishum chulin. Okay? Another unscrupulous person. This person was caught selling truma and telling the buyer, it's fine, it's chulin. Okay. So Rav Yehuda says at that point in time, you cannot buy any food from him, even water, even salt. Now, water and salt are not subject to Trumas and Maestros. Now, Esav tried to trick his father. And Esav said to his father, how do I take off Trumas and Maestros off salt, right, and give him the illusion, because obviously salt doesn't require Trumas and Maestros, and trying to give his father the illusion that he's a little bit, firmer than he needs to be. Okay. Now that's Esav. But here, the idea behind the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is that once he's selling foodstuff, i.e. in this case, truma, and once he's pawning it off as not truma, it's just regular chulin. So at that point in time, Rav Yehuda says you cannot buy any food from him whatsoever. Now, it seems to be punitive because water and salt are not subject to trumas and maisros. And so it seems to be that we are extending it beyond. And everybody knows that water and salt is not subject to trumas and maisros. And so I guess we'll call this a punitive measure. Is it consistent with the two previous Mishnahs that we learned? I don't know. And I don't know if it has to be because... Yes, it's the idea that you can't buy any food from him. Now, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Sheyesh Bo Zikas Truma Masos Ein Lochim Imenu. Rabbi Shimon seems to be a little bit more in line with what we've been saying up until now. Rabbi Shimon says, no, any food that's subject to Trumas and Maisos, you can't buy from him. But water and salt, which are not subject to Trumas and Maisos, that you can buy from him. So again, Rabbi Shimon says, we're only going to limit the suspicion, or I should say rather, we're only going to limit the ban of what you can't buy from him only to those things that he's actually suspected over. Now, you know, we have the kol sheyesh bo zikas truma, right? We have those big general statements. And the Gemara always does this, meaning the Mishnah must be including something else. What else is it including? So, kirvei dagim, fish insides, right? What they used to do is they used to mash up the fish insides. Sounds delicious. Mix in a little bit of olive oil right in there. It's wonderful. And you can't buy that from him because of the olive oil, meaning the fish, obviously, is not subject to trumas and maisros. But he mixed it in with a little bit of olive oil, and the olive oil, obviously, is subject to trumas and maisros. And this person now has a record of cheating trumas and maisros, selling it as if it is not truma, and so therefore you can't do it. Gemara follows up with the story. There was a butcher, and he sold forbidden fats of an animal. The Rashi says the chalav, the fats that are right up on the kidney, and he sold those fats. And how did he get away with it? Meaning, what did he tell the potential buyer? He told him these are permitted fats. Right, you go back to Chul, and you remember we talked about the fats that are right along the large intestine, right? The hadur de kanta. So those fats are permitted. So he, in other words, so the texture of this fat felt like forbidden fat. So he told the buyer, "Oh, don't worry, hadur de kanta, right? This is coming off the large intestine of the animal. It's fine." Okay, entrails, right? So. Yeah, entrails. So, Kanse Rava Lezvuna Afilam Guze. So Rava says, okay, he's done. And Rava made a knas against him. He levied a penalty against him. And nobody, put up signs all over town. Nobody can buy meat from him. And nobody can buy nuts from him. From nuts. So the Gemara says now, Rava, who is he following? Right? Because in the mission, we saw basically two positions, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And Michael, right on the money, meaning the Gemara assumes now, oh, I know, you're following like Rav Yehuda. Gemara's like a little bewildered by that. So, Amale Rav Papa, Rava, come on, Rav Yehuda. So, Iker Rav Yehuda, Filo Maimel Melach. The problem is not who he's following, it's just, it seems like he's not really following him. Because if you're really following Rav Yehuda, so then you should ban the sale of all foods from him. What? Okay. Interesting, but what? Yeah, but nuts though is a strange example. I hear you, but nuts is a strange example. So the. I think if you're just going to give the most extreme example, you would have said water, because. All right. So the afilu maim malach nami la'olam Rabbi Shimon be isur de gufe kantina lay. So the Gemara explains like this. No, really, he follows like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, but then you need an explanation. So why nuts? Why is he banning the sale of nuts from this guy? This guy's chshad, his suspicion is only regarding to the sale of meats. What's the connection, or fats, I should say? What's the connection between the nuts and the fats? So the Gemara is interesting. Gemara gives the following connection. Because stam dar de ke garbam guzi. Because, children love nuts. Now, by the way, Rambam writes, I know nowadays, so we have sugar. So, right, the refined sugar. Right, the invention of the 20th century. Right. I'm trying to cut back. So, but back in the good old days, though, in other words, you want to give the kids a treat, so you give them nuts. The Rambam writes at the Seder, you know, you want to keep the kids awake at night, make sure to start throwing nuts out to the children. Nowadays, can you imagine? They'll throw it right back at you. So, okay. So, anyway, so children love nuts, says the Gemara. Stam dardike garu ba'amguze. They're drawn after it. V'azo mishabish levnei tavache v'garle ba'amguze. So here's what he does. This guy is so unscrupulous. He goes around to the children of other butchers. He brings them in and he says, here, you want a nut? No problem. Go back to your father's shlach house and go get me the fats, the forbidden fats. And you do that, and I'll give you a nut. And think about it, by the way, because when they're going to steal it from their father, obviously that's wrong. And the father's not going to use it anyway because it's forbidden. It could be used for fuel and other things. But and so for him, nuts now became a vehicle, a means of him obtaining his forbidden fats. So what Rava did is not only did he forbid the sale of fats, but he also forbade the sale of nuts from this guy because that was part of his method of obtaining. Okay. Now, in the Mishnah, we're continuing more basic ideas that suspicion over one item does not automatically mean you're suspected over other items, even though you could make an argument that they're somewhat connected. For example, the Mishnah says, you're chashan al shvius. Again, we go back to the Rashi I quoted earlier. You plant during the Shemitah year. You sell produce that is Shemitah produce. And let's say you do all that. Okay, and now you're blacklisted from the sale of any type of Shemitah produce. Einu chashan al masos. That doesn't mean that now you're agriculturally blacklisted. Meaning, let's say now he comes to you and he says to you, I'm going to sell you produce, and I took off Trumas HaMaisos. You can believe him. Even though he's already been discredited and blacklisted from Shemitah. HaChashud al HaMaasros, enu chashud al Shvius. And conversely, if he's been selling selling Trumas HaMaisos, passing it off as Chulin, and caught and now blacklisted, but that doesn't mean now that he's automatically blacklisted from Shemitah.
Not trustworthy, but it's so
I understand. In other words, I open up with the Mishnah saying I can hear an argument that at one point in time, once he's agriculturally suspected, that's it. Just blacklist him in general. I understand that. And what the Mishnah is teaching us, it's a chiddush, is that not necessarily you only blacklist him from the item, from the idea in which he's shown to be immoral. Now, let's say he sold Shemitah, and he sold Trumas HaMaisos, and he did all that illicitly, and he was caught on both. So at that point in time now, he's done, and you can't even trust him for Taharas. Now, when we say Taharas, we mean that he's coming and telling you, don't worry. This did not come into contact with Tumah.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. So, and Taharos, understand, Rashi explains over here, and it's going to be very clear from the Gemara as well, Taharos is only a din d'rabbanan, meaning because we are now discussing, let's say, for example, a Jew who would like to eat his food in a state of Tahara. Does a Yisrael have to? No. But if he wants to take it upon himself as a stringency, he can. But then he has to make sure. And by making sure, we mean that he has to trust the person who's selling him the food that this did not come into contact with Tuma. This particular guy who's been selling Truma and who's been selling Perishvias all illicitly, so you can't trust him. Not even for Taharos. V'yeshu chashal taharos v'enu chashal al-lo'ozeh v'lo'ozeh. And on the other hand, a person can be suspected of selling what he says is tahor, turns out is not. But meanwhile, we don't have to extend the suspicion now to maser and to shvius. We'll explain better as we go through the Gemara. Once you're suspected over one item, you cannot serve as a judge on that item. You cannot testify about that item, meaning your credibility is done on that which you were caught cheating on. My time is shvius lo baichoma. The Gemara now is going to take us into the mindset of why it is that just because you're suspected of one item, you're not necessarily suspected over the other. So, for example, the Gemara says, look, Perishvias doesn't require a wall. Even though the fruit that grows during the seventh year has Kedusha, where can you eat it? Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to Maaser Sheni. Where can you eat Maaser Sheni? Only in Yerushalayim. So this person, although he's treating the Perish Shemitah, the Perish Shvius, with no Kedusha, but in his mind he could differentiate and he could say, yeah, but that, and that's Perish Shemitah. You can eat it anywhere anyway. Oh, Maaser Sheni, I wouldn't with Maaser Sheni, meaning I would treat that with its proper Kedusha because you have to eat that in Yerushalayim. Okay? So in other words, as long as we can provide for him an argument in terms of why it is, I'm not careful about this, but I am careful about that, so then we don't have to extend suspicion to what could be the more chamor item. The Gemara goes the other direction. And look, Maaser Sheni, even though he has shown now irreverence towards Maaser Sheni, but in his mind, what's the justification? Well, you could redeem Maaser Sheni. How kaddish could it really be if you could redeem it? The fact that he didn't redeem it? Okay, but in other words, again, in his mind, we now understand why it is he's treating it with irreverence. But Shemitah, Perish Shvius, there's no redemption. Perish Shvius will always have Kedusha. There is no redemption of that Kedusha. Oh, okay, fine, so I'm going to treat that with more sanctity, with more dignity. Okay? And Gemara explains, look, once he has shown a lack of concern for Shemitah, for Maaser Sheni, and those are Dini de Araisa, so you don't now think that if it's just a Din de Rabbanan, he'll say to himself, right, to Kavachomer. V'yesh chashad al taros my time and hid de Rabbanan chashad de Araisa lo chashad. And the Gemara then goes the other way, and the explanation is very simple. If he's irreverent towards Taharos, but that's just a Din de Rabbanan, and I don't mean that irreverently. We're just going into his mindset. Look, that's just a Din de Rabbanan. It's okay. But when it comes to Din de Araisa, I'll be more careful. Okay, good. So, not good. But in other words, at least we understand the Mishnah, where now the Mishnah is basically saying that he can be irreverent towards Isur de Rabbanan, but not necessarily, but he'll be more careful about the Din de Araisa. Yeah, you're right, correct. You meet in life plenty of people who are not as careful by the Rabbanans, but obviously the goal is to be...
Only
Yom Kippur. Right. Look, every one of us to a certain degree, you know, goes through this, you know, evaluation of, you know, this versus this versus this. Okay. Very minu. Neman al taharos, neman al shvius. So, let me slow down. Reminu. The Gemara is going to pose a contradiction. Because Neman al Taharos, Neman al Shvius. If you are trusted about Taharos, you're going to be trusted on Shvius. And the Gemara is now going to try to make a simple diuk. Ha Chashud, Chashud. Once you're suspected on Taharos, you're now automatically suspected on Shvius. But why? In other words, that's a diuk. The Brisa doesn't say that, but we're inferring that. But if that's a correct inference, that doesn't make any sense. We just said that he'll transgress the Rabbanans, but he won't transgress the Araisas. I'm Rabbi Lai. Masnisin kishira'inu shenoig b'tzidah b'soch b'esel. The Gemara suggests our Mishnah is talking about a scenario where we actually have confirmation that in the privacy of his own home, he is careful about it. And so... And so that's our Mishnah. And that means then that what the Bryce is dealing with is we don't know anything. Other than the fact that he doesn't seem to be caring about mitzvos. He doesn't care about the Rabbanans. Without any other evidence, we're going to assume he doesn't care about the Doraisas as well. Rabbi Yonah ben Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Kagon Davichash LeTarvayu. Rabbi Yonah ben Rabbi Yishmael, it seems like he doesn't like that answer. He doesn't like that explanation. He gives a different suggestion. Maybe the case is like this. Really, he has a history. He has shown, demonstrated, that he does not care neither about Taharos nor about Shvius. Okay. Vazikam Rabbanu v'Kabbalah Tavayim. He goes and stands in front of a Beis Din and he says, look, all right, I'm a changed man. Okay? I'm it's a new day. I'm turning a new leaf. I'm going to be careful about both. And then we catch him on one of the two. And at that point in time, now that he has a history, and even though he was only caught on one of the two, but now we understand now that he has a history, he was violating both Taharos and Shvius, and now we catch him on one, so we're going to basically assume, you know, you backtracked on one, chances are you backtrack on the other one as well. Now, it's something like that. Amar Rabba Babachanam Rav Yochanan Zudev Rabbi Akiva Stimasa. Okay. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Even though it's Stimasa. Stimasa means that it sounds like a Stam Mishnah, but Rabbi Akiva is noted for authoring a lot of Stam Mishnayos. See, for example, the first Mishnah Megillah, where you see exactly this type of process. Ava Chachamim Omrim Chashal Shvius Chashal Amaiser. But the Chachamim say, look, once he shows a propensity to disregard agricultural law, specifically Shvius, so at that point in time, he no longer is trusted, not even on Maiser. Man Chachamim Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara explains, look, what's the thought process over here? First of all, who's the Chachamim Rav Yehuda? De Ba'asrei de Rav Yehuda Shvius Chamir Lahu. In Rav Yehuda's community, people were super careful about Shvius. And once you show disregard to Shvius, at that point in time, you're basically showing, I have no regard for agricultural law. How do we know that in Rav Yehuda's community they were so careful about Shvius? This is a great exchange. It's going to be hard to forget this exchange. Okay, two people were in a fight, and so the name calling starts. Okay, so the first shoe that's dropped is he calls his friend, some friend, Dare bar Dare, you're a convert, son of a convert. Okay, that was a defamation of character. Amar le, it is again. We're just right now. They're loving insults at one another. So I'm not sure if I get lost in the. In the technicals over here. So Amrle Tesili de lo achle perishvius kavasech. So rebuttal, the rejoinder is, yeah, but at least I don't eat perishvius like you do. Okay. So, right. Which again, in the Tanner of Yehuda, like you couldn't say anything worse than that. That was it. That was the biggest insult that you could level. And again, the idea is that in the Tanner of Yehuda, Shemitah was just, everyone was super machped about Perish Shvius, and so as a result of that, you see that if somebody is not careful in the town of Rav Yehuda on Shvius, he has no regard for any type of agricultural law, the Kedusha Tzaretz. Igadam Ram Rabba Babachanam Rav Yochanan Zudev Rabbi Akiva Stimasava Chacham Amar Mechashel Al Maaser Chashel Al HaShvius. Here, we have a slightly different version, where once you're suspected over Meiser, you're also suspected on Shvius. Man Chacham Rabbi Meir hi, Damer Chashel Adavar Echad, Havei Chashel L'chol HaTorah Kula. Rabbi Meir says, that's it, across the board. Once you're chashed on one thing, you're chashed on everything. Yeah, you want to connect this, I always do this, I don't know if I'm right about this, you want to connect this to Rabbi Meir's Choshesh L'miuta, meaning this is Rabbi Meir who is always, seems to take one incident and basically, you know, we'll go with it. Extend it. So the Amrila, I'm sorry, Kola Torah Kula. Rabbi Yonav, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Tamid, Rabbi Zera. Ve'amir le'Rabbi Yonav, Rabbi Zira, Tamid, Rabbi Yochanan, Chan amar, Ava Chachamim, Omrim, Chashar al Shvius, Chashar al Ha'maiser. So again, more versions of this discussion. If you're suspected on Shemitah, you're suspected on Ma'aser, Man Chacham, Rabbi Yehuda, Ve'chan amar, Chashar al Ha'maiser, Chashar al Shvius, Man Chachamim, Rabbi Meir. Okay. Again, same basic storyline in terms of if you're chashan on one, you will be chashan on the other. Why are we extending? Either because Rav Yehuda, because in the town of Rav Yehuda, once you show a disregard of Shemitah, you're showing a disregard to all agricultural law, or we're going like Rav Meir, once you're chashan on one thing, it means that you're chashan basically on everything. Okay. D'tanya. We learned in a Braisa. Third line down, we're on Lamed Amud Beis. Am Ha'ar Shekiba Alav Divrei Chaveros. Okay. We have this discussion in many different formats throughout the Gemara. There basically are, it's a simple way to look at it, but there basically are two levels of observance. Either you are a Chaver, which means that you are careful about your observance of Dikduke HaMitzvos, all the technicalities and details, or you're an Amma Aretz. Amma Aretz is somebody who's not knowledgeable and by extension also not careful about his performance of Torah mitzvahs and the specifics of mitzvahs. Okay. Lamai nafkamina, what practical difference is there? Okay. Obviously we'll treat both with the same amount of dignity, but it makes a difference in terms of produce that you buy from such individual. When you buy produce from a chaver, and he says, I took off Trumas HaMaisros, you can assume he took off Trumas HaMaisros. If you buy from an Amma Aretz, even if he tells you, I took off Trumas HaMaisros, you cannot trust him. And so therefore, you have to take off Trumas HaMaisros from the produce that you bought from him. Everyone know what this is called? This is called Damai. Okay. And so basically now, we're going to talk about, it's a lot of Gemara. This entire Amud is going to talk about how can you change status from being an Amma Aretz to being a chaver, right? It's not, you're not committed to one of those two camps. I mean, obviously. Bechira chavshi is free choice. And you yourself can now upgrade from being an amaretz to being a chaver. Okay? How do you do it? So the Gemara goes on to describe. Amaretz, shekiba alav, divrei chaveros, v'nechshad ledavar echa, nechshad l'chol atar kula. Divrei meir. So you accept upon yourself divrei chaveros. Right, I'm going to take on now the code of being a chaver. It's not a special code. It just simply means I'm now going to be observant to all the dikduke hamitzvos.
But they did some extra things now.
Again, in this discussion, it's really that simple. The way I'm presenting it is really that simple. Right, so basically. But Reb Meir says, but once you've shown a lapse in one area of halacha, done. Done. He's back to the status of an Amma Aretz. The Chachamim Omrim, Nechshad El Oso Davar Bavad. And the Chachamim say, no. And once you're suspected for one thing, that's it. We don't go with it. We don't run with it. But basically we say, okay, fine. On that issue now, you are not to be trusted. But on all other issues, you're still going to have a Cheskas Kashrus. Hagir Shekiba Olav Divrei Torah. Afilo Nechshad El Davar Echad Havichash L'Chol HaTorah Kula. You have a convert. And the convert accepts upon himself Kol HaTorah Kula, which, as we'll see in just a moment, is required. Right? He has to accept upon himself. I'm buying all in. So even if he's nechshad for one matter, so Havichash L'Chol HaTorah Kula, V'arei Ku Yisrael Mumar. He, at this point in time now, he's a Jew. Meaning the conversion was a good conversion. But once he's suspected on one matter, so now we suspect him unilaterally. And that means the Gemara gives us the most extreme example of what it means that he's still a Jew. He's Mekadosh a woman. She's Mekudeshes. And non-Jews Mekadosh a woman, a Jewish woman, there's no Kedushin. Right? Nothing happened. Nothing halachically happened. But this Ger, even though now, as far as his credibility is concerned, it's shot, but nevertheless, he's a Jew. Tana Rabbanan. Habala kabal divrei chaveros chutz midavar echad mekabel moso. Now we're going to talk about the actual process of accepting this new status. meaning you want to be a chaver. So as we'll see in just a moment, you have to sit in front of a panel of three. I'll call it a Beis Din. It's kind of like a Beis Din. And you have to say in front of that panel, look, right now I've been up until this point in time, assumed as an Am Haaretz, I no longer want to be an Am Haaretz. I want to accept all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay? But I'll tell you what, though. There's one mitzvah I just can't handle. And he's honest and he's forthright. Give him credit. Right? He's being honest. So what's the Beis Din's response? No. You got to buy all in. So right, and the same thing is true regarding a non-Jew who wants to convert. And he sits in front of that panel of Beis Din and he says, look, I'm almost all in. Almost. Except for one thing.
Except the bris.
Right, right. Whatever that one thing may be.
Because when
Yashik
comes back, he's
going to
save the Jews first.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And even a derabanan, meaning you can't, right? You have to be totally, totally committed. It's interesting, by the way, you go look at the Gemara in Yevamos. You don't have to be 100% knowledgeable. Meaning, I know for conversions, they test, and I've been involved in a couple, and hopefully that's it. It's hard. It's hard stuff. It's important, but it's hard. But you don't have to know everything, but you have to commit to everything. So midivrisom v'chein ben Levi shabad l'kabel. I'm sorry. So that's good. So at the point of acceptance, you have to accept everything. Let's say you're a Ben Levi and you want to accept upon yourself all the perks of being a Levi. What are the perks of being a Levi? So first of all, it's interesting because I would have run to Meiser, right? That's what I would have said. Rashi does not say that. Rashi says you want to be part of the men's choir, right? Because Leviim, part of their job is that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, so they sang with the choir. What if you didn't have a good voice? Not a problem. You were a gatekeeper. Okay? Either you were, as a Levi, either a show-rer, a singer, or a show-er. A gatekeeper. We'll see this later on. Or you're a gatekeeper. One of those two. But that's a privilege. So how do you do that? You have to be mekabel divrei, shabala kabel divrei Levi, v'kohen shabala kabel divrei kohuna, chutz midavar echad. And again, while standing there accepting the code, they say, yeah, everything but, and they make an exclusion. No, ain't mekabel no so.
Shenema.
Yeah, right. Shenema, amakriv es dam ha-shlamem, ha-avoda, ha-mesur levnei Aaron, kol kohen, she'enamodebo, ain lo chelek b'kohuna. Again, there has to be a certain belief system. And you have to be committed. You have to be all in. Tanu Rabbanan Baal Kabel Divrei Chaveros Im Re'inu Shenoeg B'Tzina B'Soch B'Esa Mekabel Noso V'Achar Kach Malam Demoso. Okay, interesting. Like we just discussed. Does he have to know everything in order to accept upon himself this code? So the Braitha reads like this. Again, these are Toseftas straight out of Demai that basically tell us how to gain the status of being a Chaver. So it's found that in the privacy of your own home, you actually are taking off Shumas and Maestros. And now, you stand in front of Beis Din and you say to them, that's it. I'm in. I want to be a Chaver. So you accept him, and afterwards you can go through all the details. You don't have to test him. Meaning, his acceptance is more important than the actual knowledge base. The knowledge will come. However, if we don't know historically whether he's taking off Trumas and Maestros, meaning we have no one telling us that in the privacy of his own home he takes off Trumas and Maestros. And now the only information we really have right now is he's coming in front of us and he's saying, I want to be a Chaver, but we don't know if he knows anything. So at that point, first we have to teach him and then only then can we accept him. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, you know what? Accept him. If he's committed, you accept him. And when he'll learn through experience, and right on the job learning. Tana Rabbanan mekablam lechnafayim v'acher kach mekablam l'taharos. A person says, I want to be trusted for tumah tahara. So step one, you can accept him lechnafayim. Great term. You can accept him for wings. Wings? What? When I was preparing the Gemara, You know, the halacha is that after you wash your hands, so you have to hold your hands up, right? Right. So that the water doesn't drip down. It's almost like you have a pair of wings. Chnafayim means yadayim, meaning step number one in the world of taharos is that you're going to have clean hands. So the first thing we're going to accept is chnafayim, that you're going to have clean hands, and then akakaf mekabel taharos. Then all the other halachas of tumah taharos, that'll be step two. If he says, look, all the rules of Tumah Tahara, that's too much for me. That's too much. I'm ready to take on just Yadayim. Interesting. The Braisa says, okay, fine. So we'll accept him for the world of Yadayim. Kibol Taharz v'lo kibol chnafayim alfa taharz v'lo kibol. However, if let's say he says like this, look, I'm not in with this whole Yadayim thing. My hands being tummy and tahor, I'm not going to wash my hands every morning. But I'll keep all the other tumah tahara aspects. So we look at him and we basically wave our hands and we say bye. Meaning, kenafayim is your baseline. Right. The first thing that you have to accept is Yadayim. Yeah. Wash your hands every morning. Wash your hands before you handle food. And then afterwards, then you want to take on the other levels of tumah tahara, but kenafayim is a baseline. If you don't want to accept that, but you want to accept everything else, we say to him, no, bye, you're done. Okay, speaking about being done, so we're done. We didn't finish the daf, but we'll start tomorrow in the middle of the Amud. God willing, tomorrow we'll finish the perek, fourth perek, and, okay, beginning of the fifth perek. וחנניה בן הקשה מרצה כשברוך וזעק בצלופיך אחר מנתור מצל שנה מנה חפי כמנתיק יגדול תורה וידיר.